Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this thing on? Is this thing? Are we still? Hey, we're here, Jeffrey. The government may have shut down, but we have not. Happy Wednesday, everybody. I guess is this because we're essential workers? I think it must be because we're essential workers.
We're not government employees.
No, there's that as well. There is that as well. It is Wednesday. I think, is that right? Yeah, it is Wednesday. The government has shut down, and we'll see how how it manifests itself in each of our lives. I'll say this, Jeffrey: we did get the National Park Service did get a winner of Fat Bear Week.
Okay,
like who won?
Wait, we started it back. I thought, didn't we?
No.
We closed it down because one of them ate the other.
No. They paused.
Ah.
Last year's paused because one bear killed another bear. And
so did they shut down?
It's a bear eat bear world. I do think that what's happening in national parks. Like right now, if you were planning your trip to Glacier National Park, could you go? I don't know the answer to that. You're supposed to still be getting your Social Security checks.
So I'm seeing the first story from Politico is one thing Republicans and Democrats can agree. Oh, no, sorry. Let's see.
Anyway, I'll tell you about the Fat Bear Week. Chunk won. Chunk won despite...
Partially open.
Well, that's not helpful. What does that mean?
Open-air sites will remain open to the public, but the buildings...
Well, you don't go to a park for a building.
Correct.
You know, unless it's the facilities, right? Anyway, Chunk won despite having a broken jaw.
Mm.
Like, that's perseverance, you know? Because normally in that situation, you'd think next bear up, right?
Of course.
Next bear up. But Chunk persevered. Really a Willis Reed type performance from Chunk. This is from the National Park Services. This is their release on this, presumably written before the government shut down. Fat Bear Week 2025 wrapped up with a plumptastic finale as the junk in the trunk of 32 Chunk proved too much for Bear 856. Congrats to both bears for making it to the finale. Heavy is the bear that wears the crown. Chunk may have waddled off with this year's title, but in the end, every bear is a winner. Thanks to everyone across the globe for joining the furry, fish-fueled party. Special thanks to the salmon. I like that. Special thanks to the salmon. So there you go. If you want to go to the actual news reports, this is from the BBC. A brown bear weighing over 500 kilograms, that's, I don't know how many pounds that is, you're going to have to tell me, has overcome a broken jaw to become the winner of Fat Bear Week 2025. Chunk received the most votes in a competition between 12 brown bears in which people picked the bear they believe best exemplifies fatness and success. Now, there's a couple of things to aim for, right? Fatness and success as they prepare for winter hibernation. So there you go. A park ranger praised Chunk's resilience in learning how to fish with his injury.
Teach a bear to fish?
Yeah, but teach a bear to fish with a broken jaw? Like that's not what they say in church.
I would argue that's how you play hurt.
That is absolutely. He reminded us how resilient bears are. I gotta say, Zach Eady could be learning a little bit from this. Brandon Clark, you know? He reminded us how resilient bears are and have the ability to recover from injury and hardship, said one of the park rangers. One voter, Amy Hall, called Chunk an inspiration So there you go. Chunk and I both went through some stuff this summer, and we both learned to adapt and heal. Thank you, Chunk, for being an inspiration. Chunk broke his jaw in June. Observers suspect the injury result of a fight with another bear due to the timing of it. Chunk's people said he just walked into a door.
Of course, yes.
they said, yeah, no. Just walked into a door. So Chunk beat the one of the biggest bears along the river, known as 856. Let's be honest. I like the name Chunk better than 856.
I totally agree. Roll,
I think Chunk won because of the name alone.
I don't like the implication of giving bears numbers.
It suggests there's a lot of them out there. Won by more than 30,000 votes. So there you go. The government may shut down, but at least we got the Fat Bear Week contest in before it did. And we are committed to persevering throughout the shutdown and continuing to do the show, whether we are paid or not, unless we're not paid, in which case we won't do the show.
Correct.
Right? And I think it's fair.
Every man has a price.
And mine is just my
correct, paycheck. My salary.
The GP and I went through this once because back when we had a show on, I don't even know what the station was. What do you know the station was when we were briefly on an AM station, Gary and I? That's back when.
Wasn't it the one out of West Memphis?
Yeah, that's when it was called. And these were the Halcyon days. This was the glory days. It was called The Jeff and Gary Show. The Jeff and Gary Show. Anyway, we got canceled. And we got canceled because we didn't have any ad staff. And so we were supposed to sell ads. And you can imagine how successful that went. I don't sell anything. I impossible. And neither really could GP. And so we got canceled. And they said, but you can continue to work and not get paid. And you know how many more days we worked?
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah.
We worked 0 days. That was our principle on that. Yeah. So we've been through this, but we'll be here as long as the checks roll in. We'll be here for you. Today on the show, we got John Martin in the next segment. He doesn't really epitomize fatness and excellence, right? He's trying to work on the fatness part, and he's closing in on the excellence. But John is going to join us in the next segment. Chris Harrington from Nashville will join us after that. I think he's seen that film One Battle After Another. Have you heard it? No, do you know anyone who's seen it?
I've not seen it. Every
person got a lot of buzz.
I would say every person that has seen it has said it was unbelievable.
Now I'll tell you this though. If you go to Rotten Tomatoes, and I do. There are people who look at reviews before movies and there are people who don't. Right? There's a different, some people just don't want to know anything. And other people very carefully read reviews and stuff before they go see a film. And I am of the view, I don't really like to read a whole review because even though they say no spoiler alerts, there's almost too much in the review, right?
Yeah, I think it's fair.
What I do like is to know the audience, the scores in Rotten Tomatoes. And films that I'm somewhat suspicious of, given my rather pedestrian tastes, films where the critics love it and the people are modestly in favor of it, right? Or don't. Honestly, there's films where critics love it and the people don't. And of those two groups, I consider myself more of a people than a critic.
Yeah, right? I think it has to depend on the spread, though. Like, I'm willing to sit there and go, like, okay, if it's like 10 points or whatever, yes, that's fine.
Well, and that's what's happening here. So in this one, Rotten Tomatoes, the critics, 96% fresh.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah, he is a critic darling.
The people, still 85.
Yeah, that
would. I would and will see this.
Yeah, that
would. What if it were 65?
Me.
If it were 65, I would not.
Then we start to get into like how into the premise am I? Like,
then, it, yeah, okay. Then it's then
now I'm starting to weigh some options.
Other factors. Anyway, he's seen it now, and wrote about that. And we'll talk to him about...
I think Connor saw it this weekend as well.
We'll talk to him about the other fat bears, the slim bears. We'll talk to him about the slim... Connor saw it, liked it?
I would assume. He's a big PTA guy.
So, Chris, yes, will talk to us about bears of another sort. And then Sam Hardiman will join us. Interesting week for Sam and I, me and Sam. Which is it, Jeffrey? Sam...
Interesting week for Sam and me.
Sam and me. Really? Is that it?
Correct. Preposition.
I gave you two different options and they were both wrong.
Correct.
Different, interesting.
I mean, you could say me and Sam. It's just
because me and Sam. The Bills play the because you don't say you just get rid of the Sam. You tell it. You wouldn't say difficult
for I
week for I.
Correct.
And that's how you test to see if it works. You just drop the one. Ugh, no, that's not it. It's differently for me and Sam, Sam and me, because the Bills play the Pats
Sunday Night Football too, standalone.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Of course, I want the Bills to win. The Bills are, you know, trying to win the Super Bowl this year. They're trying to get the number one seed. Now, Sam is a Pats fan, but he doesn't think they're fully baked.
Right? Correct.
And
he is not. He is far from a delusional fan.
He's very clear with the Bruins, another one of his teams, that he is looking forward to the draft pick.
Correct.
Right.
Well, what choice does he have?
And we'll see. Hockey.
Okay.
They got a goalie, a defenseman, and a forward of high caliber. At least one, maybe just one. But the question is, he wants the Pats to get more stuff too.
Like, sure.
He knows they're not fully baked. Does he want them to win this game? I think he does, because it's early enough in the season and the Pats looking promising now, right?
Listen, as someone who has watched his team have devastating wins, when you're in that mold.
They're not there. They're not there. You think they're there? I don't think they're there.
Every win counts.
I don't think, no. I don't. No, not this early in the season.
Every win counts.
This early in the season, Sunday Night Football, I don't think they're in full tank mode. They have their quarterback.
Well, I didn't realize you were so weak when it came to tanking.
Well, I just don't think they're fully, I don't think they're there.
I think the problem that I see is there are going to be a bunch of,
they're 2-2, for God's sake.
Okay, but that's my problem.
They're in the playoff picture.
But they're still, okay, so if you look at it, you've got some teams, let's be real. You're not going to catch the good work of the Saints. Like, you're just not.
No.
But the Jets are right there.
No, they're not.
You're only a couple of losses away from being right there with the Jets.
Right there for the
Jets are
right there
for the
Pats. The Pats are going to pick 17th. And it's just, and so enjoy that along the way. I think he will tell us.
17th, no way. Way lower than that.
14th.
I would think 12.5. Would be the over.
They're five. They have the same record as the Chiefs,
okay,
for God's
sake. But their
sakes.
Wins are,
they
okay,
the
hold
same
on, hold on, hold on.
As,
their wins are the Panthers.
That's true.
And
the Jets. We just saw that. Yeah. No, not the Jets.
No,
they not just, the Jets. I'm sorry. The Panthers, and who's their other win?
So this weekend they smoked the Panthers, and then they lost to the Raiders. They beat the Dolphins.
That's it. They lost to the Raiders, then they beat the Dolphins 33-27, then they lost to Pittsburgh. Even their losses aren't great. I mean, they lost to the Raiders and to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they were home games.
Of course, that's division leading Pittsburgh to you.
And then they beat Miami. Anyway, Sam's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the National Garden stuff, you know, everything that's happening in Memphis. Plus, he did a piece earlier, really charmingly done piece earlier on why sometimes – when you're sitting in your home and your power's out and you're sitting in the dark and your meat is warming up in the fridge and you're hating life. And what makes it even worse is you look across the street and your neighbor, Jeffrey,
it's the worst.
All lit up.
By the way, that's never happened to me.
he addressed that in a piece earlier. So we'll talk to Sam about that. That's the line.
Wait, Sam's going to explain a power grid?
Yep.
He's a man of so many talents.
Here's the amazing thing about this piece, is for this piece, they can't release or don't release MLG and W actual grids and how it works, right? And
like proprietary, of course.
Well, they say it's not proprietary. They say it's security.
Of course.
Because the Russians might want to do it and shut us down, right? They're going to shut down the right household, right? And so for security reasons.
Freaking Putin, man.
So what they did was they came up with a mock grid in order to illustrate how it works. I really went above and beyond. This is in the Ask the Memphian series, and so you can read that anyway. But we'll talk to Sam about all of that. We got John Martin, we got Chris Harrington, and then we got Sam Hardiman. And before we get to anything else, I thought I would start, and maybe for one of the few times ever, I thought I'd start by just saying a little bit about baseball. I think baseball is kind of having a moment, don't you?
I told you this.
Yeah, you have. You've been telling me this. And here's some stats. Attendance is up for the third straight year. 71 million fans this year in person. TV viewership is up across the board. The average game, 2 hours, 38 minutes. That's three straight years under. That's incredible, by the way. Like, what they have done with that is, it took a long time to get there, but my God, it absolutely worked. The average age of a single game ticket buyer is 43, down from 46 2 years ago. And if you look at the secondary market, the average falls to below 40. How about that? Millennials going to baseball games.
Yeah.
And then we get great baseball yesterday, including I just love the Tigers beating the. I mean, it's just because I feel bad for teams that collapse. And so you get Skubal out there. He literally averaged more than 99 miles an hour.
It felt like no ball left the infield.
It was crazy.
Like even the run was quote unquote like a chopper back up the middle. Like, you know, like an infield run.
Now, I felt Fielder's a little choice. Bad for the Guardians because you get like two earned runs, two unearned runs.
Yeah,
there,
but this is part of the models. I think they still finished with a negative run differential.
Anyway, so that was great.
Did they get positive? Let me see. Nope, minus six.
But then,
won the division at minus six.
But my favorite story about yesterday was Drew Pomeranz.
Ah, yes, of course. Collierville's own
Drew Pomeranz. It feels like we've had a lot of great local baseball stories recently, right?
Sure.
And we talked about this, whether we're actually more of a baseball town now in terms of producing major league talent than basketball or football or anything else. Certainly basketball. And Drew Pomeranz.
That one's not even close.
Who you played with?
Against.
Against?
Yes. My brother played with. I played against.
And was he
devastatingly
talented?
If Drew was pitching, you just prayed that he was wild that day. You weren't hitting him. You just prayed that he walked you. I did get a bunt single off him. No big deal.
Anyway, before this year, he had not, because of injury, and he released several times, he had not pitched since 2021.
Yeah.
And he's totally reinvented himself in Chicago, and now he's
as a reliever, yeah.
As a reliever, and he scored a inning yesterday.
Absolutely.
Like, that's a great story.
Again, anytime like someone you're like, did get a hit off of him.
Did you get a hit off of
him? Fun single. But again.
There you go.
We tell our story.
There you go. Now, the Padres, it is funny. I saw a lot of Padres fans on social media saying, we paid him a lot of money for nothing. The least we could do, like they had a very uneven relationship with him. The least he could do is get lit up by us.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Shut down the Padres. Cubs win that one.
He is still one of the greatest college performances that I've ever watched.
Against?
It was a regional final, and he was pitching on short rest, and he essentially threw a no-hitter. There were, quote, two infield hits that were, I would have scored them as errors.
Right.
But he essentially threw a no-hitter against Western Kentucky and beat him.
First postseason win for the Cubs since 2017, and then you have the Red Sox beating the Yankees 3-1. Like, that's a lot of fun. Bases loaded jam in the ninth in that one.
I think the stat that I saw rolling on a graphic this morning, the first time in postseason history that bases were loaded with no outs and it went scoreless in a final inning. Yeah.
And then on top of that, you got Shohei with two home runs.
And the second one, he damn near hit it out of Dodger Stadium. It hit like the top of like where the concessions are back in right field.
Ridiculous. So anyway, baseball's been.
I mean, it helps that we just mentioned Dodgers, the Cubs.
Oh no! Well, that's
and
the
Yankees and
but
Boston.
You know what? The truth of the matter is that, like, the Guardians to me the most compelling. I mean, I don't know. Boston, New York is pretty great.
I mean,
but given the history of how it unfolded this year. Tigers Guardians is pretty awesome.
It's why I always struggled, though, when you're like, is this the biggest collapse ever? I'm like, they're still going to make the postseason. Right. And if they win this series, I don't think you can say
They were in danger of it. At one point, they were in danger of completely slipping out of the.
Correct.
It would only have been the biggest ever if they had flopped out of the.
Exactly.
Anyway, that was
Guardians lineup is gross.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we mentioned the Fat Bear Week. That was, of course, that was, of course, the biggest thing. I did want to, before we get to John, there are a few things that I did want to tick off. I have a bunch of different news items, that struck me. One, ballin' on Beal. Ballin' on Beal, instead of Memphis Madness, the University of Memphis is going to have something called Ballin' on Beal. How do you feel about, here you go. Here's from the press release. It's not as entertaining as the Fat Bear press release, but still. Memphis men's and women's basketball bringing the party downtown this fall as the Tigers host Memphis Madness presents Ballin' on Beal, sponsored by Campbell Clinic. I'll see y'all at Campbell Clinic at noon today, by the way, for my knee. For the first time, the annual preseason fan fest will be held on historic Beal Street. High energy, family friendly festival celebrating Tiger basketball. 90-minute showcase will feature performances by the Mighty Sound of the South. We're down for that. Spirit Squads, live music from DJ Mike T. Fans also enjoy food trucks, vendors, and Handy Park. And on the court, we're going to have a game of, it's like horse, but it's called Tiger, between head coaches Penny Hardaway and Alex Simmons. Who do you like in that one? Who do you like in horse slash Tiger?
Is it just a free throw contest, or is it
no,
like?
No, I think it's Tiger. It's a game of Tiger. Like it's horse, but it's Tiger. That's what I'm presuming.
I mean, if Penny just starts dunking, Alex can't
do
anything.
You can't do that.
How much does he want to win? How much competitive spirit does he have? Just saying.
Is he? How old is she?
Alex is probably what, 40.
I mean, there's no question Penny would have won this once upon a time at their zenith, and it wouldn't have been close. But I don't know the state of their games right now.
I don't know. Yeah, well, you're acting like I do.
Well, I guess a good point.
She just turned 39.
We're then going to have a shooting competition featuring Memphis student-athletes alongside fans, alumni, and a special round of representatives from St. Jude, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then a meet-and-greet, autograph session, et cetera, et cetera. Fans are encouraged to arrive early, wear blue, pack Beal Street for a night that promises to be uniquely Memphis. That is October 16th. What do you think?
I am in favor of it because, as we've been talking about, one of the important things is going to be getting people out of the house, and I think it's even more important, get people downtown, have a good time, family-friendly. They're trying to do it. Like, you need to get these situations where people go downtown and say, hey, this was nice.
I'm in favor of for two reasons. One is, if you try to do a Memphis Madness now, it is only reminding people of, boy, this isn't as great as it used to be. This is nothing close to what it used to be. This isn't much fun it used to be. Remember when there used to just be a big deal? Remember when 15,000 people would be here? Remember when we had artist who would be performing there? Remember when Justin Timberlake? Okay, he never did. But remember when, like, it would all be like, God, how far the mighty have fallen. This used to be a big deal. We're over this, like that. And so instead, they're doing something completely different.
Well, I think there's another angle to what you're talking about. To put that kind of show on, that costs money.
Oh yeah,
and that's money that could have gone elsewhere.
They were never going to do that again. And so, if you had a quote Memphis Madness, it would just be some very, 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 very pale version of what it once was, in a way that would just remind people that the entire enterprise of Memphis basketball may not be actually what it once was. And so to do something completely different and fresh, I applaud from that perspective. And it's not like unlike what other people do. Ole Miss does the thing at the square, you know.
Yeah,
they it's.
When the last time I was covering it, they did. Yeah. I have no idea if they.
And it's a little bit like Memphis football. Like when Memphis football, you know, has a day before where you just get autographs and hang out with people, and they have food trucks and whatever else. So that's what they're doing. So I like it for that reason, but then I also like it for the reason that you said. If you think back to when game day came here, right?
Yep.
No one said, ooh, I'm not going down to Beale Street. Right? No one said, I can't believe I'm not going downtown. You know, no one said that. They said, what a great idea. Or some thought it would be a little complicated to stage at Beale Street. But there was no sense of, I'm not taking a step on Beale Street. I'm not going to downtown Memphis. It's amazing how it's changed. And I mean, hell, we had the news yesterday that the downtown DoubleTree is closing. And every time one of those things happen, it is a, for those of, I don't know, for me, it's kind of a punch in the gut. I'm like, what the hell? When is this going to stop? Like, when is the slide, the spiral going to slow down? When are we going to start seeing the arrival of things rather than departure of things? And so I think if you can get people to come downtown and realize that it's fun, and that it in fact you will not be murdered, and you're going to have a blast, and it was fun when game day was here, and it's going to be fun when Alex Simmons and Penny Hardaway are playing Tiger, and I think it's a good thing for the program, and I think it's a good thing for the city of Memphis. Bring people more. I don't want to be a homer, and so I probably won't do this, but literally I had the thought today. You know, I should start writing a piece in the Daily Memphian just a little piece every week about something fun I did downtown, because it's just crazy to me. Like, you have to get downtown and celebrate who we are. And so I think the university has a role in that, and they're embracing it. And so good for them. Mulan Asian Bistro also, by the way, but that's because of fire. Did you see that?
Yeah. So, well, I didn't see it.
Did you ever go there? Aaliyah, was that a place that we have one in East Memphis?
Yeah.
Right over by the Target.
We get takeout from there.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. I don't like their Chinese food. I actually like the pad thai.
Well, the only thing, I have not spent a lot of time going to Mulan, either place.
Yeah.
Because the menu is like,
it's not Cheesecake Factory, but it's close
to Cheesecake Factory.
Well, nothing.
It just confuses me. It's like I declare defeat. I'm like, how do I possibly? There's a whole Chinese menu, isn't there? Like authentic Chinese stuff, right?
Oh, so yeah.
It's not like just sweet and sour pork,
correct?
You know? And then there's like the pad thai there.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. See, I get pad thai from Mosa.
I get pad thai from Mosa as well.
Anyway,
shout out Mosa.
It closed as well. And we're just bouncing around a little bit before we get to John. We also had the news from the NFL that Dylan Gabriel is going to start for the Cleveland Browns. Did you ever think on draft day, if you were told, what are we, week five? Week five.
This will be week five. We start tomorrow.
If I had told you on draft day that by week five, Joe Flacco would not be starting. Boy, Cleveland's defense may be the best in the league.
And it's certainly up there.
It's nasty.
And especially when you consider, it's not like they're ever put in any good position.
Right, nasty. And yet they just suck offensively.
Yes.
But so Joe Flacco is going to be benched. If I told you that was going to happen, would you not have assumed that the starter would be, and that a rookie was going to start, that Flacco is going to be benched and a rookie is going to be starting? Maybe you didn't, but I do think if you had polled most of America who cares about football and said who will be the starter on that day, they would have said Shador.
So I think it depends on when you would have asked me. If you would have said during the college football season last year, hey, the Browns are going to draft Shador and Dylan Gabriel, but don't tell me where they're going to get drafted. Flacco's going to get replaced week five. Who would you think would start? I think my answer would have been Shador. But once we had the draft, like in the end, the Browns did have Dylan Gabriel selected ahead of him. We got through the preseason. Both guys had opportunities to play. They kept Dylan Gabriel ahead of him. So
it is, it's kind of amazing. Literally, they picked one guy ahead of the other guy. You would think that would be a pretty good signal that they liked one guy more than the other guy. And yet all of America was like, boy, Dylan Gabriel's toast. Shadur's going to take this job. And then we saw the first preseason game.
Correct.
And they're like, woo, look at Shadur. My God, remember that?
I watched it. I pulled it up on my phone while we were at dinner.
Is there ever a reason, another reason to take the preseason pledge? Like after that game.
Well, the problem was Gabriel didn't play that game.
No, he was hurt.
Then Gabriel played the next game and went right down the field and scored. Yeah. And I was like, where are all our think pieces?
And the very clear sign was, yes, literally during training camp, they never elevated Shadur. Not only that, he never got snaps with the first teamers. He just never, you know, he was never working. And so that was a pretty clear sign that, yes, they drafted Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shadur. They're practicing ahead of Shadur. They like him more than Shadur. How do you think this is going to go for him?
So they're playing the Vikings in London. The Vikings, that's a pretty tough first assignment. Can we agree?
It's not only salty, it's confusing.
Correct. And they will come after you. So that's a tough first assignment, but everyone thought the Chargers would be a tough first assignment for Jackson Dart. And while Jackson didn't put up 30-something points, the Giants did move the football consistently. I would think this is going to be a tough first one, but it's like, well, what's the difference?
Oh, yeah, what's the difference? You might as well.
And like the other thing about when you watch Flacco has a lot of the same hallmarks to me of late-stage Eli, where the arm's still there. They can make the throws. The problem is you just watch, and as soon as anyone is in the realm of like being around him in the pocket, they just can't move anymore.
Well, I'll be interested. It doesn't have the noise that the Jackson Dart elevation does. And I think for a couple reasons. One is
New York.
It's New York. That's the biggest one, right? It's New York. Second is that Jackson Dart had a electric preseason.
And he was a first-round draft pick.
So, yes, it's mostly because it's New York. He's a first-round draft pick. 100%.
The New York aspect.
And then he was really consistently sensational in the preseason. And Dylan's in Cleveland, and he wasn't a first-round draft pick, and he was good and efficient but not sensational. And so it doesn't have any – but it certainly does add to the intrigue. Like a Browns game would have very little interest to me, even though watching Myles Garrett beat double teams can be compelling theater. A Browns game would have very little interest to me. Now it does.
How about at 8:30?
Oh, God. Well, you'll be watching it in church. We know that now.
Depends. I had money on the Steelers. There was difference. Well, did he want me to tithe or not?
No. You make a good point. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back to talk to John Martin after that. I will remind you, Josh Heisa, if you're selling your home, Josh Heisa would be the person to reach out to. And I've talked to you a lot about the instant cash offers that he will do. And honestly, that's for two reasons. It's because the market is tricky. It's simpler all the time. But it's even simpler now, given how tricky the market is. And then secondly, you're being besieged by all these out-of-town, you know, robocalls and stuff. And so if you're going to go that way, Josh Heisa would be the alternative that you should choose. He also sells houses the traditional way. And so this recent client named Grayson, who had to get rid of his house early because he had an illness in the family, had to sell his house. He's like, oh, I'm going to do this instant cash offer that I hear about. And Josh comes out there and he sizes it up and he says, you know what? With this house, I think we can get even more money if we sell it the traditional way. And that's what he did. Josh is terrific at marketing your home. Within 2 weeks, he had a contract on the house and Grayson was very happy. So again, it's not the only way Josh sells houses. It's a reasonable method to choose. Given the circumstances of today, but he also will sell houses the traditional way sometimes for even more money. If you're thinking about selling your house, at least contact Josh Heisa and the team at Keller Williams Realty to see what they can do for you. The phone number is 901-461-8147 or joshhasthebuyers.com. com. John Martin, then Chris Harrington, then Sam Hardiman. Busy day, even as the government is shut down. The Jeff Calkins Show rolls on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin. Jason John, every single day from 11 until 2. I'm an avid listener. John, how are you surviving the shutdown? He shut down.
I'm not really impacted yet.
No. So. No. Well, none of us are. It doesn't feel like, it feels sort of theoretical. I guess if we went to the airport, we could be. I suppose that would be a place that we could feel it, and we will hope that it ends soon. Are you Fishman was talking the other day about the poly markets, right? He said he after he referenced you, he said, you know, I had to learn about the poly markets, and he said the poly markets were saying that there was a 85% chance of a shutdown, etc. Are you what are people betting on in the poly markets these days? Are you well, wagering on the poly markets?
Well, poly market's not live in the United States yet. Kalshi is live.
Oh, these are actual. I thought Polymarkets was like a described the type of market. It's actually
up. No, so that's the name of the app.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so
what is live in the what is live in the U.S.?
Kalshi is the only one right now that's live in terms of quote unquote prediction markets in the United States.
How do I spell
States.
Kalshi?
K A L S H I.
Okay. So what are we betting on?
Well, you can bet on anything on Kalshi. I mean, literally anything, or excuse me, predict. It's predict. You know, they try to differentiate themselves from betting because of the stigma, even though it's the same damn thing. It's so stupid. But they're CFTC regulated.
What
for
does
now.
That mean? CFTC.
Well, it's the.
You don't know the answer to that. I stumped you.
No, I don't know that it's the Commodity Futures Trading Commission.
Okay, I see.
They're treated as derivatives as opposed to gambling. God. You see what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you
so
mean.
So there are tax advantages.
Do you have active wagers on Kalshi, or have you wagered on Kalshi before?
Well, you know, as part of the beautiful changes in the One Big Beautiful Bill, in 2026. Sports gambling used to be taxed where you could write off 100% of your losses right to zero,
right.
So you
okay.
can net it out if you lost. But moving forward, they have reduced that to 90%, basically implementing a 10% phantom tax on income that you didn't actually have, which has sort of forced me to use Kalshi because again they're not taxed in that way; they're taxed as derivatives. Which means that my, you know, Saints money line bet.
Oh, so you can on Kalshi, it's not just betting how long the shutdown will last. You can bet on the Browns game.
Yeah, yes, you can. It's ridiculous. There's parlays on Kalshi, but somehow they have. And I don't know that this will always be the case. I do expect this to go to the Supreme Court, but you know, for now, yes, you can bet on sports on Kalshi, and again, it's tax like. It's scheduled 12:56. So if I lose $3,000 for the year, I can write $3,000 off on my taxes and reduce my income by $3,000. Whereas if I was doing that on Caesars Sportsbook, I would not be able to take my income. I would just be able to net that out to zero.
I see. That's sort of.
It's a sham.
It's a sham. Okay. I want to talk about
anything. Like, I mean, like right now, what am I looking at? How many days will the federal government be shut down this year?
And are there odds on this? What is the...
Yes. There's percentages.
So what's the most likely? What do they say it will be shut down? What's the most likely?
Well, they have every day. Down? So more than one day, more than 2 days, more than 3 days.
And is there one that is most...
It trails off after more than 10 days. More than 15 days, they give a 41% chance to...
What do you think? What are you going, 4 days? I'm going 4 days.
No, I'm going to go longer. I'm not betting this because I have no institutional knowledge, right. But they don't seem close on this. So I would say it's going to last.
They don't seem close on this. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of nuts. It's kind of nuts how...
It's kind of nuts where we are. Yeah, what's it? Sportsbook what?
Well, like FanDuel and DraftKings stock was in the tank yesterday because of...
Really?
Because Cauchy rolled out parlays. And parlays is where DraftKings and FanDuel and those places make the majority of their money. It's where their hold comes from. And so, look, this, like I said, this is going to be litigious, and it's going to be, fought tooth and nail. Cauchy has won most of their legal battles to this point. But the news yesterday was that Brian Quintens, who was a board member of Cauchy, he was the nominee for the CFTC.
Uh-huh.
And so Cauchy was feeling real good about it. But then they withdrew his nomination. The White House did. So there are definitely some questions as to
This is a whole new world. Okay. I got a bunch of University of Memphis questions. One is, what do you think of Ballin' on Beal instead of Memphis Madness? They're going to be basically having a festival on Beal where you're going to meet the players, hang out with the players, get their autographs, go to food trucks, watch Penny and Alex Simmons play Tiger, which I think is a version of horse, only it's spelled Tiger, and other festive matters. What do you think?
I love it. I think it's really smart. I think it's a fresh spin on the event. Obviously, we all feel safe going downtown now that the National Guard will be there. So I expect everybody to go downtown in droves. But I do. I think it's a light, commitment. You know, you're doing something. You're giving fans something to do. But it's not like this hard and fast, hey, you know, we've gotten used to this. Oh, we're going to scrimmage. We're going to do a dunk contest. The event's going to drag on. We have to get performers. We have to do – because I think they had moved to the El Marone, right? They had
scaled down.
So this is a way to sort of have the same crowd, right? To have the same
– The same number of people will come, maybe even fewer than would come to El Marone. You never know,
but it will not –
But it won't look like it. Yeah.
It'll look great, actually. If 500 people come on Beale Street to watch the Tigers do this, it'll look fantastic. And again, this is an event that's obsolete in 2025, in my view. Like, people don't have the excitement because the rosters constantly turn over. They don't have the connection to the players, you know. So it's very, I think most fans take a wait and see approach with college basketball in 2025. So I think this is a way for the diehards. You definitely do something for them.
It's fun. By the way, you can get a big drink there. You can get a drink down there and wander around holding a drink in your hand.
You can get a big ass beer.
Penny Hardaway. Yes. Can I bet on Penny Hardaway versus Alex Simmons on Cauchy?
I don't think so. I don't think that would be on Cauchy, although I think Penny would probably be the slight favorite. But maybe not. I don't know. Alex Simmons is...
I don't know what kind of a shooter she was. Like, was Alex Simmons a shooter? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, Penny wasn't. He wasn't a great shooter.
No.
He was a playmaker.
He was a playmaker. He's a dynamic.
But I think in his older age, I think he's developed the old jumper, you know?
I'm with you. I think it's a great idea. Okay.
I think it's good. I think it's smart. Yeah.
Second thing, PJ Hagerty, and you may not have known this, but the reason that he left Memphis to go to K-State is... It's about fit and how he's going to be used there. That was the key. He said this in a interview with Andy Katz on a podcast. He was asked why, and he said because of fit and because really the way he's going to be used. Isn't this come a revelation to you, John?
Well, if you remember, I mean, that was the whole thing, right? His dad was like, he wanted to play point guard like 85% of the time or something, and you know, I don't. I mean, he was on the ball a lot last year.
He was on the ball a lot. He just doesn't create. Yeah. He was on the ball a lot to go score, you know?
I never watched a game of Memphis last year and thought, man, P.J. Haggerty just needs the ball more, you know? So, I mean, I get it. His dad is like, you know, their perspective is this is his way in the NBA. He's not going to be able to make the league as a 6'2 combo guard, you know, that's.
So you think this was sincere? You think it's sincere? You think you buy it?
Well,
as
I think Kansas State was like basically willing to do whatever for him, right? Like I think they were willing to, you know, because they were desperate. You know, Jerome Tang's desperate, and you know this is a second team All American, and you know I think they were willing to kind of do for him whatever he wanted to do.
Penny has always been willing to tell anyone they can play point guard, though. Like he'll tell.
I'm sure Penny did say that, but I, you know, maybe it was like. You know, sometimes people just convince themselves in their head that like it's just going to be better somewhere else. You know, and they have to kind of go see it to find out that maybe that's not the case. So I think that's kind of what was going on here. I think if they just kind of, you know,
I actually think if he had come out and said, "Listen, I achieved a lot in Memphis, and I was incredibly successful, and I'm great. I elevated my game. I elevated my profile. Like, I could not have had a better experience at Memphis. I don't actually think that I could now have a better experience at Memphis. Like, I've, with all due respect, I've done it. Like, it was great. And to play in a different conference without, let's be honest, you know, it's just true, tougher competition on a different stage. Even though I did everything I did at Memphis, I still wasn't acclaimed as a first-round draft pick. So I want to go prove myself again on a different stage somewhere else. I'm grateful for Memphis, and I want to do it at K-State to prove that I am who I am no matter where and no matter the competition. I actually think that would have felt like more honest to me than what he said right. yesterday. Or a better explanation. Maybe just a better explanation. Okay, last thing.
By the way, really quickly, like this is one of those things where you really wish I was on Zoom on camera. As you were rambling there about PJ Haggerty.
You were rambling.
Yeah. My son comes in.
Uh-huh.
And he literally doesn't say anything. And he hands me a donut and leaves.
He doesn't realize it's no longer Fat Bear Week. You know, it's longer Fat Bear Week. He's trying to fatten you up.
What kind of 1.5-year-old comes in? I don't even know how he got upstairs.
What kind of donut?
It was from I don't want to piss anybody off.
What flavor donut? Like I don't even.
It was like
glazed.
It was like, you know,
a glazed
sprinkled,
donut. A proud
sprinkled donut.
It's funny, by the way. Like I know it's hard where you are right now in having multiple children of that age. But yesterday, Claire was we were cleaning out the house, and. And I saw that Claire had a bunch of stuff that I was supposed to take to Goodwill. And on the top of the pile, there was this green stuffed, old at this point, beaten up, much loved frog, a stuffed green frog. And it just tugged at my heart because it was Ben's green frog that he just carried everywhere. And I thought to myself, I sent it to Ben. And he remembered exactly when he got it. And you know, there he is living in New York City. And I thought, if I could just go back to that little boy with that green frog, I would do it in a moment. And no one brings me donuts anymore either. So there you go. Okay.
I'm a sentimental guy. I really am. I feel these things, you know, like I intensely feel them as they happen. Like I know, you know, there's this old like adage, like I, you know, it was this famous line from The Office. It was like, I wish you knew you were in the good times. I wish you knew you were in the good old days when you were actually in them. And like, I intensely feel that even though there are days where I'm just like, I'm like exhausted and I'm pulling my hair out and I'm just ready to just throw in the towel that like, I'm like someday, like there is so much life in my house. There is so much vibrance in my house and it's chaos and it's loud and it's like I can't have a phone call
someday and the kid's gonna go to college, it's gonna be quiet, the bedroom will be empty,
that and no one's gonna care what I'm doing.
no one's gonna bring you a donut. Hey, all right, I want to ask one more sports thing. You wrote a column about the Memphis Tigers victory, and I have to say you were wildly enthusiastic about them. You were just honestly the tenor of it was just incredibly upbeat, And yeah. I don't know, was there something about that game or about what they've accomplished early that has contributed to that? I mean, whatever. I think, you know, they obviously undefeated, but mm-hmm. we've said before, like, you weren't going to be that impressed with the win over Arkansas because what does it mean? Like, and yet you were. What have you seen that was responsible for that tone in that piece?
Well, I just think the most impressive thing about Memphis is that they have committed to this identity of we are going to absolutely punish you on the ground and there's nothing you can do to stop it, whether you're in the SEC or not. We're going to commit to this run. We're going to fly around defensively and be in your backfield constantly. And we're not going to commit penalties, which they don't. I mean, they really rank pretty much top 25. I went through this yesterday. They're like 14th in rushing yards per attempt. They're 11th in rush yards per attempt allowed. I think they're top 25, top 30 in penalties committed per game. Like, they're just a very well-coached, disciplined football team. And I think that's, you know, I don't necessarily know why. I mean, we're talking about probably one or two games last year that they dropped that was the difference, but it just seems like this group knows exactly who it is, despite being basically an all new team. Ryan Silverfield has sort of forged this identity and this brand that, you know, and I it's kind of funny that he felt self-conscious about running it up. I didn't even think twice about it. I thought it was great. I'd like to see more of that, quite honestly, but they don't really get phased. You know, they've been in some crazy games already. They were only up 5 with 10 minutes left to play in this game on the road at FAU. But also, this is a spot where they failed last year. They were big favorites on the road at Navy. Navy ended up being better than we thought, but at the time we didn't know that. And they dropped the game, and it kind of ruined their season. It brought their season to a screeching halt. And this was another example, like, off the win against Arkansas, how do you respond and how do you handle success? And they handled it really well. And so I think that's the part for me that was very encouraging. They passed a test they did not pass last year, and it does. It encourages me. It makes me optimistic for the rest of the year.
John, thanks very much. Appreciate it. Enjoy that donut.
Yep, you got it, man. Later.
Yeah. Of course, that's one of the problems. You know, people sometimes ask me, like, I'm definitely slimmer than I was, 10 years ago. And I'd ride my bike, whatever, and I'd do some Pilates at Sanya. But mostly, it's just not donuts in my house. There's not pizza and donuts in my house every day.
Snacks.
That's the killer. And literally, you're just, John is sitting there innocently, minding his own business, and his son brings him a donut. How do you not eat the donut? It's impossible. You have to eat the donut. Snacks.
I've come up with a new system.
What's the system?
Give it to my dog. Now his weight is
getting out a lot of control.
Yeah.
Do you have a weakness? Is there a snack that, oh my God, why does this have to be here, that you will just demolish no matter what, even if you don't want it? Is it salty? Is it
flavor
sweet?
Blasted
is
goldfish are up there.
For me, it's if there's pizza in the house, man, like, it's the worst. I'll eat 5 pieces of pizza, then I'll, or 4 maybe now, whatever, and then I'll wrap the rest up and I'll put it in the fridge, right? And then an hour later, I'll go back and have another piece.
What's that slice to?
And
then
I'm just, the whole time, I'm like, it's there. It's like it has a homing device on me.
Yeah.
I'm either eating the pizza that's in the fridge or I am aggressively not eating it at all times. I'm not just unaware it's there. I haven't forgotten it.
Correct.
And moved on. All I think about is the pizza that's in the fridge until it's gone. I mean, I'm the guy who will occasionally, like, pour water on it, you know, like,
just to stop
just to stop myself. But giving it to the dog, not a bad alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, we got a busy second.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.